The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, the Bible says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt," now watch what it says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now, he knew exactly who to go to. He knew exactly that he was supposed to go to the Lord. And I want to speak for just the next couple weeks on moments with the Master, about just different people that had just a moment. You know, sometimes when you have just a moment with someone, it changes your life forever. You know, sometimes just saying the right word at the right moment makes the difference. Sometimes, are you listening to me? Sometimes saying the wrong word at the wrong moment makes a difference. And so let's talk about this. So I want to speak this morning on a transforming moment. Now, I want you to notice it again. The Bible says that there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." So he said, "Now look, I know who I am, and I'm going to come to you." Now let's understand how the scriptures are laid out here all the way through that which is Christ's earthly ministry. You find out that he is very much centered on people. He is not centered on building a ministry. He is not centered on himself. He is centered on building people. Two verses declare it in your Bible, where the Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man have come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, the Bible says, "Even the Son of Man came not to," it says, "to be ministered onto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And so the Bible talks about how Jesus came to serve. He came to give his life a ransom, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, a ransom for many. When you think about the word serving, you think about somebody that's a servant. Matter of fact, that's where we get our word deacon from, is because a deacon is supposed to be a servant to the pastor for the people, all right? And so we understand that there's a lot of terminologies and a lot of activity that goes along with this word servant. Here you'll find that the Lord is on a preaching campaign. You'll find in verses 21 through 34, the setting of that campaign is just before day. Verses 21 through 22, you'll see that Jesus had taught in the synagogue. You'll see verses 23 through 28, where he cast out a demon. You'll see in verses 29 through 31 that he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And by the way, many people say, well, you know, Peter was the first pope, but yet Peter had a mother-in-law. Verses 32 through 34, you'll see that Jesus healed many of the sick people. And of course, you'll see that he delivers them from a demonic type of possession there. Verse 35, you'll see that Jesus enters into a time of prayer before day. And then you'll see this, that the disciples find him. Now, as they find him, you're going to see that he is admonishing them. Verses 36 through 39, to go into the cities and to preach the gospel. That's what he's telling the disciples to do. Now, in the midst of him being there with the disciples in Capernaum, there comes a man. I mean, just almost like out of nowhere comes this man, and you're going to find that this man kind of interrupts, if you will, please, as an individual, and he comes to that which is Christ. And that's where we find that our scriptures pick up. And I want to talk to you about this man that had leprosy. I want us to understand what it is for somebody that is tainted with sin to be able to have just a moment in that which is the presence of the Lord that could change their life forever. May I say, it only takes a moment. But let's notice that, if you will. I want you to follow along in your Bible. We're going to use it this morning. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, as we read a moment ago, the Bible says, "And there came a leper unto him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." So understand that here is a leper. The condition of leprosy is very, very grave. Matter of fact, if you like to see the conditions of leprosy, you can turn to Leviticus chapter 13, and I'll read you some verses about the conditions of a person that had leprosy. Now, in comparison, leprosy can be compared to sin. You're going to see the attributes of leprosy is the same attributes of sin. Person here today saying, preacher, you don't understand, I'm in the depths of sin. If you're in the depths of sin, God can change it in a moment. You say, well, preacher, you just don't understand where I've come from, what I've gone through. Number one, doesn't matter where you came from. Number two, doesn't matter what you're going through. When you come in contact with the Master, He can change everything in a moment. Now, I want us to notice this. Listen to a description, if you will, about leprosy. And in your mind, run a comparison. Will you do this? Run a comparison to that which is leprosy and sin. Listen to what the Bible says. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 3, the Bible says, and the priest shall look upon the plague, and it says, in the skin of the flesh. All right, so we notice this. The Bible talks about here how leprosy goes deeper than the skin. Now, it's revealed on the top side of the skin. By the way, before you have a fever that's revealed on the outside, you have a fever on the inside. Many times, diseases that a person has in their physical body, the outwardness of that disease does not appear until the inwardness of that disease has already done some damage. All right, here's what you see about leprosy. Leprosy goes deeper than the skin. And so sin, by the way, are you ready? Goes deeper than the skin. Have you seen people that were living in sin, but they carry the big 20-pound Bible? Sure. And they come to church, and man, they know when to say amen. They know when to say hallelujah. They know when to say glory to God. They got it all down. Got it all down. You'll see them, they'll go to the altar and pray. They got it all down. They're excited. When the preacher says something that's funny, they'll half laugh. Half not, but they'll half laugh. Okay, all right, wait a minute. Sin cannot be revealed necessarily outwardly. Most of the problems that people have with sin is not the outward things. Most of the problem that does the deepest damage is the inward things. All right, now watch this. Here's what it says, Leviticus chapter 13, verse 7. The Bible says, and if the scab spread, it says, much abroad in the skin. So what does it do? Starts off as just a little scab. Just starts off as just a little bit. And by the way, isn't that the way sin is? Person says, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just take a little drink, but then it leads to alcoholism and them being a drunkard in their life. But it just starts off a little bit. Starts off a little bit. Starts off just a little bit, somebody getting on a porn site, looking at it for just a little bit. Before you know it, it's a way of life. It's a way of life. Starts off a little bit, guy cheating on his wife, wife cheating on the husband. Just starts off a little bit, but then after a while, it's out of control. It starts off just a little bit, the child says, I'm not going to obey you. Starts off just a little bit, they don't say it, but they don't do it. And that just starts off a little bit. Before you know it, you have a child that doesn't want to obey you at any time. Just starts off a little bit. Starts off a little bit, person being disinterested in church. First they'll miss Sunday morning, then they'll miss Sunday night, then they miss Wednesday night. Just starts off a little bit. Starts off a little bit, well, I missed my Bible reading this morning, I'll make up for it tomorrow. Oh, I missed it again. I'll make up for it the next day. Oh, I missed it again. Oh, I'll make up for it the next day. For you know it, 20 years have gone by. Where did it start? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just starts a little bit when a person comes to church and shows a disinterest and their child notices it. Before you know it, the child picks up the same habit as daddy, as mama. And then, you know, the child becomes, but it just started off with just a little bit. A little bit of dozing takes you into a sleep. A deep sleep takes you into nightmares or dreams every single time. All right? Why is it that people get backslidden and stay backslidden? You know, nobody that I've ever met in my life I've been preaching for 30 years. I've never met one that said, okay, I plan to backslide. Most of the time, here's what a person does. They back off a little bit, back off a little bit, back off a little bit, back off a little bit. Before you know it, they wonder, how in the world did I get so bad? They got so bad because they backed off a little bit. I was preaching to our people yesterday, Saturday morning. We have a big soul winning rally. If you've not come yet, I invite you to come. Meet at 10 o'clock back in the soul winning room. But I was preaching to them yesterday. I said, isn't it amazing how we think that we'll wake up spiritual? You don't wake up spiritual. You want to be spiritual, you got to put spiritual in. Church is spiritual. Plug it in. Plug it in. The more church you plug into, the more spiritual you will become. Soul winning is spiritual. Plug it in. Going to the altar, hey, listen, at Parkside Baptist Church, if you come here on a Sunday night, the altars are jam-packed all the way across the auditorium, all the way down these three center aisles. Brother McCarty, raise your hand. All the way back to where Brother McCarty is. Most of the time, the altars are packed on Sunday morning. Wait a minute. Does that mean that God, Sunday night, does that mean that God can only work on Sunday night? See, what happened is this. Here's what we do. We get used to doing something that is spiritual. But the more spirit, somebody says, well, I want my kids to be spiritual. You will not raise a spiritual kid if you don't plug them in spiritual things. It's not going to happen. Just not going to happen. An adult says, I want to be spiritual. You got to plug into spiritual things. You'll never be spiritual if you don't plug into spiritual things. Now, wait a minute. Here's what we see here. We see that here's this leper comes to Jesus. As he comes to Jesus, that leprosy goes deeper than the skin. You'll find out that it spreads, starts off just a little bit, and it spreads. You don't want it to spread in your life so that you become unspiritual. In your life and in my life as adults, we ought to decide that with each passing week, we're going to become more spiritual, not less spiritual. We ought to decide that we plug in and do more things for Christ, not less things for Christ. Here's what we see. Leprosy goes deeper than the skin. Statement number two, leprosy begins as just a smallness, but it begins to spread. Statement number three, leprosy defiles everything that it touches. Everything that it touches. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 44, the Bible says, he is a leprous man, he is unclean, and the priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. They'd have a rag, they'd take the rag, the oozingness of that which was the runny sores created by the disease of leprosy. They take the rag, they wipe off the running sores. Then they'd take that rag, if they had to go out someplace, they put it on the end of the pole. They would carry the rag in front of them on the end of the pole, and they would cry aloud, unclean, unclean. Everybody would stay away from them. You know why? Because they were afraid if they were going to get close to them, that if they touched them, they would become a leper. So they were afraid if they got close to someone that had leprosy. And by the way, isn't that the way it is today? You know, somebody goes off in sin. The average person knee-jerk reaction is stay far away from them. Stay far away from them. Because the sin that they went in, if I get near it, if I touch it, it's going to contaminate me. Now, that's a knee-jerk reaction, not even a good Christian reaction, but it is a reaction. And the average person would do that. Here's what they do. Somebody would be carrying that which is a cloth on the end of the stick. They'd be walking around, unclean, unclean. Everybody would back as far away as they could. Why? Simply because of the fact they didn't want leprosy. Here's what takes place. You'll see that this leper comes to Christ. As he comes to Christ, man, he's in trouble. How's he in trouble? He's got a disease that's deeper than the skin, like sin. He's got a disease that starts off small and spreads like sin. He's got that which defiles everything that it touches, just like sin. He's got that which is isolated. Listen to this. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45, the Bible says, in all the days wherein the plague shall be upon him. Listen, and he shall be defiled. He is unclean and shall dwell, it says, alone, without the camp. It says, shall his inhabitation be. So what's it? He's a lonely guy. Man, he's all by himself. He's got this rag he's carrying around on the end of a long pole, walking down the streets, unclean. Everybody sees it, says, man, I'm staying away from him. He goes home at night, it's lonely. Did you know that most of the time when people get in sin, when it's deep and it starts to spread, it isolates them. It isolates them. Because people say, I don't know what to do with them. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how to counsel them. I'm not even a preacher. I'm not a Christian counselor. Now, the average person that has the problem with sin or the problem with leprosy, if you will, please, they don't understand it. They think, man, why aren't you caring for me? Because most people don't know how. They just don't know how. I've seen kids that have dads that are alcoholics, drunks. They come to me, they say, Pastor, my dad's a drunk. I don't know what to do. What do I do? I have young people, are you listening to me? College-age young people that come to me and say, Pastor, my friend, I'm trying to help him, but he's on drugs. Don't know what to do. Just don't know what to do. Now, that's not saying they don't want to help. They just honestly don't know what to do. All right, now, wait a minute. Here's what you see. You see this. You see, here's this guy that's a leper. He comes to at least the right one. My Bible says there's a great physician. My Bible says when you don't know where to go or who to go to, if you'll go to Jesus, he can change it in a moment. I said, in a moment. You said, but you don't understand, preacher. I've had this disease. I've had this sin problem for a long time. I'm telling you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm telling you that the God of the universe that spoke and the world began to exist and all the creation that ever was created began to be. I'm telling you that same God is the God that can help you with your problem. He can help you. You don't have to run from him. You don't have to be afraid of him. By the way, doesn't the Bible say this? You have not because you ask not. Isn't that true? Here's what we try to do. We try and fix everything up ourselves. You can't. Did you hear what I said? Love you in the name of the Lord, but you can't. Man, I'm having marital problems. Don't know what to do. You never will. Man, my kid, you know, he's growing up and he's a rebel. What do I do? You better run to the only one that can give you help. You better run to the only one that can change a heart. You can read all the books you want to, and I love you, and I'm glad you're here today. But you can go and read all the books you want to on marriage. You can go and read all the books you want to on finances. You can read all the books you want to on child rearing. You can read all the books you want, and I'm glad for summer clinics. We're going to give you practical insight at 5:45 during our summer clinics of how to have a great family, how to operate on a low budget, how to help yourself financially and for retirement, for the future, stuff like that. You're going to get stuff. You're going to get help. How to have fun as a Christian. You're going to get help. But may I say, no matter what man tries to do, it is God that takes the help and energizes it to success. It is God. Without the touch of the master, no matter what wisdom you have, no matter how deep you think you're going, there is no way that you can get the help that you need apart from the master's touch. Now, here's what the Bible teaches. Here's a man that started off with leprosy. What's happening? Deeper than the skin, just like sin. What's happening? Starts off as very small, just like sin. What happens? It defiles everything it touches. Come on. Listen, sir, I love you, but I'm telling you, if you're having trouble with drugs or alcohol, you need more help than what you can provide within yourself. I'm just trying to help you. If you're having family problems, you say, well, it's going to get better. Man, you've been trying for years. It hasn't worked. What makes you think you're going to make it better all by yourself now? get away from this thing called pride. Get away from this thing. Well, I can make it on my own. You're not doing so hot. Let somebody step in. Let somebody help you. Let somebody guide you. Let somebody take the Bible and show you what the Bible says, because it's the word of God that liveth and abideth forever, that will change your life. I'm saying this, that leprosy, like sin, goes deeper than the skin. It spreads, starts off small, and spreads. It defiles everything it touches. It isolates. I remember coming up, my daddy drank. Sometimes on a Friday night, he'd come home drunk. Can I tell you, when he came home drunk, we didn't know what he was going to be like. Might be pleasant. Some people, when they drink and get drunk, they become jello. Everything's funny, ha ha. Other people go into rages. We had no idea what he was going to be like. One minute he could be ha ha, the next minute, you know, fist is coming your way. We didn't know. See what we did? We kind of isolated ourselves a little bit when Dad would come in just to check him out, see what side of the fence he rolled over on. We'd watch him for a little while. See what is that? See if he's going to be cheerful, bubbly, happy, you know, laughing about everything, or if he came in angry. If he came in angry, we stayed isolated. If he came in bubbly, man, we got around him because he was just a great joy to be around. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. But that sin has a tendency to isolate. In the Bible, the word fire many times runs parallel with the word judgment. Here's what the Bible says, Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 52. He shall be therefore burned, it says, he shall therefore burn that garment. All right, so here was a garment that touched the leprosy. What was he supposed to do? He's supposed to burn the garment. Watch this, wherein the leprosy is. All right, so leprosy would contaminate that which was the garment. What was he supposed to do? He's supposed to take off that garment once he was made clean, make sure it's burned. Because if you don't burn it, you'll return to it. It could return to you. So we tell people, hey, once you get saved, start living for Jesus. Get rid of those things that's harmful to you. Why? Because they could come back again and hurt you worse. So what do? You get rid of the garment, if you would please, that's contaminating. What? You don't want it again. You ever see people start? I've seen them. You ever see people get excited about Jesus Christ? Woo! Man, they come to church, they're gloating, man. I mean, they're gloating. I'm talking about they're smiling earlobe to earlobe. I mean, lips both ways, stretched to beyond the human imagination, earlobe to earlobe. Man, they're sitting back there, when they sing, they open their mouths. Woo, woo. Preacher tells a funny, they're sitting back there. Then all of a sudden they get older in Christ. And they lose their joy. Now, there's something not right about that. I'm saying this, that what happens is when you let God begin to work in you, God will always be burning stuff off of you that should not be there. But somehow or another, we become professional Christians. And we don't do that inward search anymore. Come on, stay with me. We don't do that inward search anymore. If God, I'm opening myself up completely. We begin to master Christianity so much that we leave the master out. We don't need to be that. We become professional Christians. Man, we walk it, we talk it. We sit there. We think that we are God's gift to all Christians. Hey, it's not that way. You still need the master. You still need God to do work in your life. You still need God to be the one that changes people, because you're walking so close to God that when they see you, they are reminded about Jesus Christ by the very attributes in which you carry yourself. I'm saying this morning that you've got to be careful that sin does not begin to overtake you. Why? Because it will destroy you from the inside out. Watch what happens. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 54, the Bible says, and he shall therefore, it says, burn that garment. It says, wherein the plague is. Listen to what it says. It says, for it is a fretting leprosy. In other words, it could come back and it could fret you again. Oh, come on, you ever do this? You ever do this? We're talking about real Christianity. Are you ready? Ready? You ever do this? You ever get on your knees and say, dear God, I've had trouble with this. I pray you'll help. I don't know what to do. I pray you help me. Give me wisdom. God, I'm going to lay it at your feet. I'm not going to move on anything till you show me. God, you help me. Need your wisdom. You ever do that? You give it to God, right? You ready? Give it to God. You get up. You get over here. Maybe 10 minutes away. 30 minutes away. Maybe even a whole day away. And you say, man, I'm worrying about that again. Man, it sure is bothering me all over again. All right? Now, by the way, there's nothing wrong with this. Then you go back, you kneel, and you say, God, look, I tell you, I'm wrestling again. That's what we should do. That's not what we do. That is not what we do. Here's what we do. We have a problem. We go to God, say, God, help me. Man, I need you. God, work in my... Okay, that's what we do. And then we get up. We go over here. We start picking it up again, and we never go back there. You know, the crucified life is not crucifying your life one time forevermore. The Bible says this day, our daily bread talks about. You know what I found out? I can be right with God. Are you ready? Are you ready? You're ready. I can be right with God 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, not right with God. 10 minutes over here. Man, I love you, Jesus. Oh, gonna serve you. Yes. Over here. Man, I tell you what, I'm tired. I really don't want to serve God right now. You know what that is? That's called flesh. Uncrucified flesh. Unscheduled life. You know, I find out older I get, Christianity, you're old man. You agree? Here we go. The older I get, here's what I find out. I find out that the Christian life is two things. Will of God, obedience. Will of God, obedience. Well, you know, I don't feel like, has nothing to do with feeling. Will of God, obedience. Well, my opinion, it has nothing to do with your opinion. Will of God, obedience. Well, you know, I think God's not interested in your thoughts. He's already written the Bible. It's complete. Will of God, obedience. What God is wanting is somebody that just says, hey, God, whatever you say, that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. I'm just going to step out. Will of God, obedience. Will of God, obedience. Will of God, obedience. Will of God, obedience. You know, some people say this. Well, I tell you what, I went to Sunday morning church. I'm not going to go back Sunday night. Flesh rises up a little bit. Tired. Wednesday night, too much Bible. Ooh. I'm not being mean, just being honest. Well, you know, I don't want to give that person a gospel piece of paper called a tract because I don't know how they'll respond. It's not based on their response. It's called will of God, obedience. Simple as that. Now watch this. Ready? Will of God, obedience. I can choose to be happy in the will of God as I obey, or I can choose not to be happy in the will of God as I obey. That's my choice. Some people in the will of God smiling all the time. Woo, this is great. Can't wait for church. Man, I can't wait. It's going to be good. They're excited about it. Will of God, obedience. Some people say, boy, I tell you what, man, I got to get ready. Oh, honey, hurry up. You're going to make us late again. Hurry up. Have you got kid dressed? Number one, two, three. Kid number four and five and six. Where's my breakfast? Man, I'm working hard this morning. Hurry up. Honey, I'm in the car. Beeping the horn. Hey, come on out here. All the little kids come out, jumping in, start the back out. Oh, wait, where's my wife? Lay on the horn. She comes running out, puts one leg in. has the other leg hanging out. You're backing out. She's scooting like this. You slam the door. You get out. She looks around. She says, oh, we can't go yet. We forgot Susie. She's still in the house. You back up. You go, go get her. Mama gets out, runs in with her athletic touch, opens the door. Susie, come on. Susie comes, gets in the vehicle. And then on the way to the church, Dad says, hey, let's all have a great spirit. We're going to church. Hey, kids, behave so you don't embarrass us. We're going to church. Hey, son, turn that music off. Let's sing about Jesus instead. You start singing. You go to church. You sit there. You listen to me preach for about 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I get up and I preach. Sometimes I'll come up and I'll slam the pulpit. People were kind of lethargic there for a while. We'll go. They'll come back to life. They'll pay attention. I'll have their attention for about 10 more minutes. Then I have to back off and say something funny to get them back. You know, and you got to work at it, just getting that truth out there. And so, boy, you know, and then all of a sudden, boy, it's time to leave. Man, it's almost time to leave. Hey, he's going to close for prayer real soon. Real soon. We're almost out of here. Start whispering 10 minutes before the service is over. Where do you want to go eat? You get out in the car. You still don't know where you're going to go eat. You drive around Mesquite, taking Garland, Dallas. Maybe head out to Forney, still driving around. Driving around for an hour and a half. Still can't figure out where you're going to go eat. Finally, you say, well, it's almost supper time. Doesn't matter now. You pull up. The crowd's gone. Dad looks and says, I just planned it that way. You'll catch that in a little bit. Goes in, gets something to eat. Man, I ate. I need to take a Sunday afternoon siesta. Let's go home. Let's rest. Dad says, I'm going to go and lay down. Mom, make sure the kids lay down. He goes in. He lays down. Mom's out there. Lay down. Shh. Your daddy's resting. Shh. Your daddy's resting. Shh. The kids are, you know, mom is, shh. Finally, last kid falls asleep. Dad's alarm clock goes off. Mom says, well, I was just going to lay down. You don't have time for that. We got to get ready for church. Come on. Then, you know, things have to be taken care of. And as things are taken care of, I'm telling you, you can't do it by yourself. You cannot do it by yourself. My Bible says the arm of the flesh shall fail me. Can't do it. The people that say, I just can't keep up. I'd be curious to know if they're walking with God or walking, doing a lot without God. I'd just be curious. I'd be curious to see how deep their wells are in Christ. I'd be curious. Well, watch this. Here's what we got. I'm going to hurry now. Here we go. Leprosy, like sin, goes deeper than the skin. Starts off small, begins to spread. Defiles everything it touches, isolates the individual, can only be purged or destroyed by fire. Let me give you this. That's the condition of leprosy. Here's the compassion of the Lord. We'll look at this. I'll give you a couple more thoughts. We're done. Look at it, verse 41. 41. Look at it, if you will. Look at verse 41. Now, understand, we're in the book of Mark. Look, if you will, in the book of Mark, chapter 1. Look at verse 41. The Bible says this, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he'd spoken, immediately, that's the moment. Did you get it? Immediately. Preacher, you don't understand my past. I've tried and failed and tried and failed. Immediately. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, Bible says the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Now, by the way, here's the leper. He's coming. For years, nobody's touched him. For years, nobody wanted to be around him. For years, he just wanted some human to shake his hand. Nobody shake his hand. For years, he loved to be able to kiss his wife one more time. Wasn't happening. For years, everywhere he went, he had to obey the law and cry out unclean. He didn't know how he was going to be received. He had no idea. Here's the leper coming to that which is Christ. He didn't know, hey, maybe Christ is saying, I don't want nothing to do with you. Maybe. Maybe Christ would say, look, you go to one of my disciples, they'll take care of you. Maybe. Maybe that which was Christ would say, listen, I tell you what, you know, you just need to go away. Read a sad story. 1991, it was in November. Jimmy Allen, he was the former president of what is now the Southern Baptist Convention. It's back in 1999. He had a daughter that had a baby, had a blood transfusion. She got HIV. The two boys that she gave birth to both had HIV. Christians looked at him, heard that daughter-in-law. His daughter-in-law, HIV, two boys, grandsons now, HIV. He was a religious leader, and everybody turned their back on him. Said they must have been out in sin. They must have been doing, no, it was a blood transfusion during the delivery of a baby. But back then, everybody was scared of that, and so everybody drew a circle around him and started throwing darts. Now, may I say, that's not the way anybody should respond. Here's what happened. Christ reaches out, touches. When he reaches out and touches, they're made whole. He spoke the word, and it was done. Let me give you the last thing. Here it is. Here's the commandment of the law, and I'm done. Look at verse 44, 45. Here's what it says. And he saith unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man. Go thy way, show thyself to the priest. That's what he's supposed to do. And offer, it says, for a cleansing, it says, those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Watch. And he went out and he began to publish it much. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. He said, hey, let me tell you what Christ did. Let me tell you what Christ did. Brother Sweatman had three soul winning partners yesterday, outdoor knocking. Mike Lofton was one of my partners. Jeff Fitt was one of my partners, and then Brother Sweatman finished off the day. He met me up here at 4 o'clock. We went for, 2 hours together, and we went down here, and we stopped down here at the gas station. Will got saved. Brother Fitt led him to Christ 2 Sundays ago. Will got saved, came to a service on a Sunday night, received Christ, and Will works on Sunday mornings, but he's here on Sunday night now, and so Will got saved, received Christ as Savior. We got our coffee, getting ready to pay for it, went up to the cash register, and the cashier said, Will's already paid for it. Drove out to the gas station pump. I said, Will, thank you for that. He said, look, whenever you come here, Pastor, you never have to pay again. He said, just tell him Will took care of it. You know, it changes people on the ends. When we truly get born again, we like helping people. I went over to the Davis's house. I went over their house, mom and daddy, went over the house. Got over to the Davis's house yesterday, both of them in their late 80s. Mrs. Davis is there. Man, comes soul winning every Saturday morning. Brother Davis, every Saturday morning. They're up here and they leave, get all their material and leave before the sun gets too hot, before our meeting starts at 10. Mrs. Davis was there. She said, boy, I tell you what, man, let me tell you, I'm excited about Vacation Bible School, you know. And Brother Davis was saying, boy, I'm excited about this. And boy, we're so excited. We're in a soul winning church. And man, this is what we dreamed of. And this is just so exciting. And we're excited about going out and serving God. We're in our 80s, but we are not dead. That's great. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, here's what the law demanded. But he couldn't stop. He said, man, it's just so good. It is just so good. I'm saying this. I'm saying in a moment when you come to him, things change. Doesn't matter where you are this morning. In a moment when you come to him, I hope I never lose it. I hope I never lose the joy of what Christ has done for me. I hope I never lose it. I hope I don't settle down in a chair one day and just say, well, I guess I'll have to serve God because I have to. I hope I never get there. I hope it's always exciting. I hope it's always, I can't wait to give out a track and can't wait to see somebody else's response, and I can't wait to see who else I can lead to Christ, and I can't wait to see them, and I'm praying for them that they'll join the church. And boy, I'm excited for that one that I've got coming soul winning with me on Saturday, and that one's going to come at this time. But boy, I can't wait to see our teenagers serve God and for our Bible college to take off. And I mean, I can't wait to see all that God is doing. I don't ever want to lose that. I'm saying this, I'm saying in a moment, just in a moment, Christ can change your life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.